think that you did think that I had, but now you don't have to think.
Hi, I'm John, and today I saw over 600 kilograms of dog.
And I'm John, and I forgot what I was going to say, but I'm continuing like I didn't.
And I'm not John, and I just turned 30. Yeah! Anyway, this is Would John Rather, a podcast where I ask two people called John would they rather questions. And they answer me would they rather or would they rather not. Except, big twist, this week I'm not asking the questions. If you're new to the podcast, that was a big twist. And don't pretend it wasn't.
I feel bad because I didn't wish you happy birthday yet.
Yeah.
No, I feel bad because I haven't wished you happy birthday in the future either.
And you should feel bad. You should feel very, very bad. I feel bad because I only remembered literally as John was introducing the very beginning of the episode that we missed out on saying it last week. And then as I thought that, while John number two was introducing himself, I felt even worse because I don't remember, and to be fair, I don't remember most of these podcasts after I've edited them, but I don't remember if we made a big deal of John turning 30 already. And that was while we were recording. That was possibly around episode 14, I'd guess.
I've been old for years. I've been old at heart. I'm an old man trapped in an ever slightly younger man's body. My knees hurt in the
and
cold.
And that's why you've got a restraining order.
No, it's not like I've said, like, pull my finger and super glued it into the child's hand and gone, you'll never escape me now.
I wasn't even going for child. I just meant, like, you're a bit of a predator going after 18-year-olds, but if you want to take it that way...
As far as I'm concerned, anyone lower than 25 is a child. Because
yeah,
I'm that old.
I completely agree, to be fair. Do you remember
when you were in sixth form and there was a sixth form girl, like 18 years of old, going out with a 25-year-old? And everyone's like, oh my God, how cool is that? He like, got his own flat, you know, he can drive. I look back at it now and think, if I was 25, would I really want the hassle of an 18-year-old in my life? The answer is no.
We went over this when you both almost destroyed your marriages when I said 10 years older or 10 years younger.
Yeah, the thing is, you're the half at the age of, what, 27?
Hmm.
Yeah, at the age of 27, that's not that bad. 18-year-olds have really not got their shit together at all. They have no idea what the world's really about.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, how do I phrase it? So when we were 18 in sixth form, all of the girls our age were dating older guys, and we remember going, oh, what's wrong with those older guys? Why are they not with girls their own age? And then I remember hitting like 23 and going, oh, I'd love to be with an 18-year-old because they didn't want as much commitment as the 23-year-old girls did. And now at the age of 30, I definitely would rather be with someone a lot older than me who didn't want to do all of the fun shit that I used to want to do. But
I think
also,
my ideal partner would be some rich old lady who wouldn't expect too much from me and just keep me like a pet.
Yeah, but the thing is,
just give me a new PlayStation every few weeks or something.
I think
take me on nice holidays.
I'm not generalising 40-year-olds, but if a 40-year-old woman was with me as a 30-year-old lad, then she'd be trying to relive her youth. So she'd be quite happy with like the let's go and pick some curtains for the house. But also be quite happy every now and then when I said, let's go for a wild night out dancing. Oh my God, I called it dancing, not clubbing. I'm so old.
Gonna go to the discotheque.
I feel like I missed that part of my 30th birthday where I was visited by three ghosts. This is what your life was. Just a spoiler warning, because what I'm about to say is I'm about to talk you through a meme I saw, which I don't think we've done on the podcast
before. No, because that would be admitting your age. Right, let's just get with the first
one.
No,
because it was really good. It was...
Let me tell everyone on audio media about a thing that I saw in visual media, because it translates perfectly.
No, but it was... So, imagine you were the other side of the ghost, so this is what your life could have been. And imagine being that person where some random stranger and you that looks a bit different turned up and they just said, this is what your life could have been. And the other version of you looks really horrified of, shit, I could have done so much worse. And then disappears and you're the worst version of yourself.
I'm that anyway.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Would you rather live in a world where the wheel was never invented or fire was never discovered?
I'd rather live in a world where
the wheel was never invented.
There was a bit of a fight to finish. Do you want to try that again?
Where the wheel was never invented. Because I like light. I didn't know which one you were going for there, John, but I didn't want to risk it. Sorry.
It's rude to interrupt people.
It is, but if there's anything I've learned, it's I'm going to die one day, so fuck it.
Why not do it in a well-lit room?
Yeah. The world goes round, which unfortunately is not something I understand with no wheels. Do you want to talk about why you like wheels?
No, I hate wheels. That's why I'm glad they never invented.
Okay.
Okay, you know what? Just because...
This question's a bit hard for this time of night.
No, it's fine. I'll take wheels, just because...
Wait. That wasn't the one I was supposed to be going with. Oh, for God's sake.
What? Right, okay, John. What would you prefer? Fire or wheels?
Obviously, I'd much rather that fire was never invented because, you know, I think.
Oh wait, just to clarify, was that the way that John had phrased the question? Because I would rather be fire. I'd rather fire existed, but did he phrased it so that he had never been invented? So we both got confused because he added in a negative that we didn't need to be there.
No, I'd rather that fire had never been invented because basically as a species of human, the Homo sapiens, since they developed fire, have been the world's worst ecological disaster in history. Worse than the meteorite that wiped out the dinosaurs. Since we've developed fire and been able to control it, we've moved up to the top of the food chain and we have wiped out more species to extinction than any other catastrophe in the history of the world. Fire's pretty bad.
I wish the wheel had never been invented for exactly the same reason, John. That's interesting, that, after we got over the initial confusion. I wish the wheel had never been invented because... The wheel is pretty much the main reason for travel. And let's be honest, everybody who goes anywhere is awful. Tourism is, you say it's good for the economy, but if you could never go anywhere, you'd be forced to spend your money where you are. So therefore, your money would go back into your own economy, your local economy. Like
No one would ever need a hotel because they'd just stay where they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And you wouldn't have to be in hospitality.
No, I could go... And therefore, things like the... Who's squeaking a balloon?
Oh, sorry, I was just moving my mic and it's got little rubber feet on it.
Oh, okay. And therefore, there would be more reason for people to study things like the arts, which, let's be honest, is pointless. But in my...
I was going to jump in there with waste of time, but you did it for me, thank you.
In my world, the arts would be amazing because we spend all this money on going abroad. Look at how much our economy boomed during the recession. Maybe it was because it was in a recession, but because of staycations, because we were spending money where we had to be. How would we get abroad without wheels? We wouldn't be able to drive. There'd be no trains. Planes would be very difficult. I'm sure we'd have invented other ways of doing it, but...
Lots
of sailing, but we'd have needed to get to a port. How have we got that? On a horse? On the back of a horse? All those people that work in hotels, such as moi, I'd have been a horse rearer. I'd been wanking off horses and breeding them till the cows come, not till the cows come home, that's the wrong animal, but you understand what I mean.
I'm actually thinking way before any of this. I mean, we invented fire way before we invented the wheel.
I don't think we invented fire.
Well, we learnt to control it. And, yeah, anyway, I miss the other species of human that no longer exist, like Homo erectus and Homo Neanderthalis.
And Homo Simpson.
Homo habilis.
Homophobia.
There's another example, folks, of him who don't Google.
No, actually, I haven't Googled. I recently read a book about this, so it's just fresh in my memory.
Mm.
We'll leave that up to the listeners to decide.
Yeah. I could tell you the name of the author if you like. Yuval Noah Harari.
I've got Yuval the book in front of me. Noah Idea.
I was about to say I read a book that says you're lying, calls it Yuva full of shitter, but that doesn't prove anything.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so in a world without wheels, wouldn't be able to go anywhere. In a world without fire, I wouldn't have crepes.
You wouldn't know
about crepes because they're a French thing, aren't they?
You wouldn't be any more advanced than any of the other species of human.
Is that a promise or a threat?
No, it's just how it is.
So you're saying that because there are obviously certain cultures on this planet right now that are more advanced than others. There's still tribes out there that they have fire. Are you saying they didn't discover fire until thousands of years after the rest of the world?
No.
So there's no proof that fire equals development.
I mean, there's no proof of anything, really, is there?
It turns out you're religious. You heard it here, folks. John has denounced science.
Well, no, I don't think a true scientist would never admit to there being proof of anything. They would say that there was evidence that supports their theory. Anything that's been proved, I don't think anything's ever been proven. It's just they have got enough evidence that it means that all other eventualities are unlikely.
You've heard it here, folks. John agrees with not vaccinating your children.
Yeah.
There's no proof that vaccinating them helps.
Oh, I'm not saying that that's not true.
No, that's only evidence, John, and we're not saying that
equal proof. you can just have a lot of evidence that weighs in favor of something, but if you decide that there's proof of something, then you may Simpson as well stop asking
innocent.
Questions.
OJ Simpson was innocent. You know, that was just evidence. It wasn't proof.
Well, yeah, he was found innocent.
For a crime that he definitely committed.
Actually, he wasn't found innocent. This is exact same reasoning. He wasn't found innocent at all. He was just found not guilty. They didn't find enough evidence to find him guilty.
They didn't find enough proof.
You can't prove anything.
Fair enough.
You can, though.
Well, I have a lot of evidence that suggests that moving something on a non-circle is more difficult than moving things on a circle. Unless you're suggesting that if we hadn't invented the circle, therefore the wheel, we'd invented non-friction surfaces that we'd have put everywhere instead of roads.
Slides.
Everything would be greased.
Yeah.
Or we'd all like ride fan boats to work.
Now, that is an idea.
But you could start water planes. Not the Cessnas with
the thing that stuck in my head since the confusion, and I think this is the main thing, and it's to do with fire. Now, I like food. We all like food. Without fire, it'd be very difficult to cook food. And as John has already suggested, we would have no sort of science without fire. So microwaves and all of that shit would have been not a possibility. And I like my steak on the rare side, but you still need fire to cook it a bit. And if you haven't got fire to cook your meat, there's only so much steak tartare and sushi that you can take. And therefore, we'd mostly be vegetarians. Therefore, think how many cows. Cows would be the superior species. Cows and chickens would overrun the UK, let alone the rest of the planet.
No.
We wouldn't breed them at such a large rate, though, would we?
In fact, going back in history, we'd be overrun with those giant tortoises from the Galapagos that they were bringing back here, but instead of bringing back here, they just ate on the trip on the way over because they were delicious. Because I'm pretty sure they didn't eat those raw. So either A vote for wheels is a vote for not having tortoise overlords.
If we had never invented fire, we never would have, probably would have never gone to the Pacific Islands and killed all of the species there. Yeah, so a vote for ruling out fire's existence is a vote for thousands of species of interesting mammals and reptiles that
But that in your world we'd never have known about, so we wouldn't care about. We only care about them because we got there.
Well, you can't eat them now because they're all extinct.
And I can't eat them when they're raw because there's no fire.
I'd rather have known that someone else got to eat them than never have eaten them at all.
Back in the day when we were hunter-gatherers, before there was fire and agriculture, we'd probably hunt and gather maybe 4 hours a day, and then the rest of the day we'd spend relaxing, socialising, chatting.
Killing each other's wives.
It sounds like the sixth form.
No. Yeah. Whereas once we domesticated animals and brought about agriculture, we're breaking our backs labouring for 10, 12 hours a day. It's a miserable existence. A vote for getting rid of fire is a vote for a shorter working day.
Ooh, I like shorter working days.
I mean,
yeah, and all labouring, our bodies aren't actually designed for it. That's why people have bad backs, bad necks, bad knees. It's because we weren't evolved for it. In a short space of time, we've transferred our bodies into doing jobs and stuff that we're just not suited for. We're designed for picking berries off trees and running after antelope to eat.
Oh, yeah, because climbing trees and picking berries and running after antelope sounds like exactly what's good for my fucking back and my knees.
Better than raking with a hoe and bending over to plant seeds.
You're saying all of those things are good for your body because you'd need to pick berries and run after... also, why are we running after antelopes if we haven't got any fire? But also, every example you're giving... Do you know what's really bad for backs and knees is driving and getting on a crowded train? All of things that wouldn't exist if there weren't wheels. Because you'd have to stay local. Your commute would be shorter. You'd only be working X amount of hours because you'd only need to support yourself. It'd be like the good life.
No, back in the day before we had agriculture and domesticated cities and stuff, there were fewer diseases because we weren't all confined into smaller spaces and a bacteria couldn't survive long enough on the small amount of people that all lived together.
Yeah, but the wheel was invented after fire. Not the fire was invented, nor was the wheel really invented. Discovered is probably the right phrase. But we used fire way before we used the wheel.
Yes, and I'm saying we need to take it back before that time.
Okay, before before the wheel, before what fire? Because we take it back before the wheel, and we've got little villages, Anglo-Saxon-ish times. But we take it back. Okay, they had fire then, but I'm just giving an example. But we take it back before fire, and we're basically back before communication, where we all lived in caves.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because before, I think the only reason our brains got bigger was because we started making fire and then that made food more digestible. So then our brains got bigger.
Do you know what I think the problem is? I think the problem was the combination of fire and the wheel. For example, the combustion engine and the Industrial Revolution. I much preferred the country when we were killing, beheading and dying.
I'm going to call it John Wins because like animals and you could have.
But his version is killing the animals to cook them.
No.
You're arguing against fire.
I was well excited by airboats and like skidding around everywhere and like living on ice rinks. But you didn't go with it and you just tried to tell him that what he was on about didn't make sense. But working less and chilling more makes sense.
Wait, are you arguing for chill?
Chilling is timeless.
Yeah, chilling's timeless. Because I don't have to argue with it.
This is one of the few times where we've brought up a previous episode that we're not in the same recording session as. But, hey-ho.
Okay. If you want to get in contact with me and tell me that I'm a massive hypocrite, you can get in contact with me with John Would Rather on Twitter, Instagram, all that business. And yes, H is for hypocrite, so that's why I've removed it from my name.
But that's exactly what we said. I demand that you come up with another H example, because we've already used that one.
Yeah, but this is topical, because I was going against Chill, and today I'm going for Chill.
Oh, okay.
And if you want to get in touch with me, you can use one of those cryptics portable vaults from the Da Vinci Code.
Like the scrolls where you have to revolve the letters?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like a word lock?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And where should they leave it after they've set it?
On their bike chain.
Okay. And if you're upset that we've used hypocrite twice as the H reason in three episodes, then please tweet at me. Or us, should I say. Would Jay rather? Because I'm quite upset that he just didn't try this week.
Would you like a fresh and original one?
Yeah.
I'm taking the H out of John, and I'm going to donate it to the Northerners so they can pronounce Hull properly. Because the locals call it all. Matt doesn't fly in my book.
Much better. But in that case, I'm at a loss. Just tweet at me. Just, you know what? Don't tweet at us. Leave a review on iTunes, because we've got a fair amount of listeners, but it's always helpful. The more reviews we get on iTunes, the more listeners we'll get, the more we'll move up their ladder.
I'm going to say, and I know that everyone's probably still quite undecided about this podcast, because I am as well. But even if you say that you're undecided about it, you know, it's not a complete waste of time. And you wouldn't be completely wasting your time by putting a review saying that. Anything more than 3 stars is a bonus.
And if Mr. Harari is listening, as a shout out to your book, I hope the check is in the post.
Is he the person that wrote the book about not having fire?
Yeah, I literally just told you that.
Yeah, you didn't tell us the author.
Yes, I did.
He's trying to, but he's got a crazy long name.
Did you?
He's got a difficult name to pronounce.
You probably pronounced it wrong then.
Yeah, probably. Sorry.
Well, Harari, thank you.
Isn't that like an international airport?
No, you're thinking of the car.
Sorry for getting your name wrong. Probably.
No, that's Ferrari.
My next question.
Wait.
What? Okay. Well, the next question is, would you rather go to the biggest steakhouse in the world or the smallest pub?
Smallest pub.
So that means John gets lumped with going to some big-ass steakhouse in Texas?
Yeah, and I think we both could have argued either, so I'm going to give John a chance to steal.
Nope.
Okay.
You blurt something out like that, you've got to... gotta defend it.
I like drinking alone, and I'm hoping this pub is small enough that I have to.
I believe the smallest pub in the UK is called the Walnut, and it's
didn't you say in the world?
Ooh, okay, yeah. No, I know the smallest one in the UK is, it's one barman and three people, but I don't know about the smallest pub in the world. I've not googled it because I don't do that in the middle of the podcast.
But, I mean, the UK's roughly a third of the size of the planet. And if the smallest pub, and if the smallest pub in the UK is three people, then we can safely assume that the smallest pub in the world is one person. Big.
Just the barman serving himself.
Essentially, they've cut a hole in two post boxes that are next to each other. Not post boxes, phone boxes. So, yeah.
Why don't you just cut out the middleman and get into a beer fridge and sit there and drink by yourself?
Well, because that wasn't the question. You asked the question. If you want to change the question, you're more than welcome to, but I don't see why I should be held accountable for your poor question asking.
I'd much rather go to the world's largest steakhouse, where presumably it's so large that they have cattle inside the restaurant, and in between courses you get to go ride rodeo, because that sounds like a fun thing to do between your starter and your main, or between your main and dessert. I'm not picky.
You hold up the red. You hold up the red rag, and if you manage to dodge it three times in a row, that's what you get to eat.
I mean, that's not a rodeo, but yeah, you could do that as well.
I imagine there is some steakhouses in the US that are so big they have mechanical bulls in the restaurant.
So why not just turn it into a whole ranch, and you get to practice being a cowboy in between courses.
I see nothing wrong with that.
Rope skills, they could teach that. They'd probably have a whole section that sells cowboy boots and hats. And I can't think of any downside to that.
Well, other than you argued against my point of killing them, and you don't like wildlife. At least where I want to be, there's not only no wildlife, but there's no one else.
None of them are wild. They all live on the ranch.
Yeah, but you also don't like pets.
They're not pets.
But you can't have your cow and eat it.
Yes, you can.
It's just uncooked food. Really fresh.
I don't want to look after it. I want to go to this novelty restaurant where I get to rear animals, buy cowboy boots, ride a bull, learn some rope skills.
So just to clarify, if you came to my house and I had a pet lobster, not okay. If you were at the beach and you saw a lobster, not okay. But if you walked into a restaurant and it had lobsters in a tank and you went, I'll have that one, that's fine.
Well, that's because John can't eat your lobster.
So animals are only... Yeah, okay, so this answers the question on animals anyway, but what about people? You don't like people.
You don't like people, you're drinking alone.
Exactly. Whereas he's going to be in the world's biggest steakhouse. Lots of people like steak. Lots of people like rodeos. There's going to be so many people there.
Over the years, I've learned to tolerate people. I've even learned to do podcasts with them. Oh, I didn't mean that, obviously.
No, I think you did. That's what you said it, and it went down so well.
So I'll put up with the other people in the steak restaurant so that I can have some delicious steak with my cowboy boots that I just bought.
Does it come out with a little flag on it that just like Nando's, but it just says Maisie or Dorothy, and it has the name of the cow on it?
No.
Well, why do you get to decide? You don't get to decide. This is John's imaginary world. He gets to pick.
I'm sure that the world's largest steak restaurant exists.
Of course it does! Same as the world's smallest pub exists.
So it's not anyone's imagination. This is all real.
I just think I would definitely rather go to the world's smallest pub than the world... Because large, you can only get so large before it doesn't matter. Like, you could go to a 200-seat steak restaurant, and then you could go to a 400-seat steak restaurant, and it's going to be the same. You go to a one-person pub, the next step down is a zero-person pub, and I guarantee they're not going to be open that long. So going to the world's smallest pub is going to be more interesting and more of an experience than going to the largest. Like, you don't like nightclubs, fine, but if I took you to a rock club that had capacity of 1,000 people, and I took you to a rock club that contained 2,000 people, you still wouldn't like either of them because it contains 900 too many people.
Yeah, but we're not talking about necessarily... I could go at a quiet period when there weren't that many people. What I like less than...
You want to go to the world's largest steakhouse when it's just you in there?
No, when it's quiet. Not necessarily when it's just me, but what's worse than going to a big restaurant that's got 100 people in it would be going to a small restaurant that had 100 people in it. Nobody likes being in a crowded...
You
I
can't
hate a crowded
fit
100... pub where you can't find
right.
a seat.
Imagine
going
my
into a pub that
my
had
pub
three people,
has,
three chairs in it.
My pub has one seat and it is a one-in, one-out situation.
You got a queue while the alcoholic at the bar waits, is just drinking constantly, going, I'm so lonely. And because he's so lonely, he's drinking
more. You don't
more.
Need to describe
and then, so you're
me.
In a queue. I'm not describing you. and So you have to stand outside in the cold, waiting to get in, to waiting for the alcoholic to decide that he's going to leave before you can even go in. Whereas my restaurant, it's always got space.
It's full of hungry people because you've called dibs on every cow. It's like, maybe I want to eat that one. Maybe I want to eat that one.
Maybe I've gone for the salad option.
No. There's no choice about it. Smallest pub. Even if the smallest pub was only 5 people. If it was my favourite place in the world, much easier to hire out for, say, my 30th birthday.
Just a very quick Google. I was completely wrong about the Walnuts. It's called The Nutshell, is the smallest pub in Britain. And it looks like I can fit 5 people in it.
Don't think that changes any of our arguments.
Apart from your one person pub, which sounds...
Yeah, you said in the world, you're still Googling the UK.
Are there pubs? Well, yeah, there are pubs across the rest of the world. pubs are very British, but no, you can have bars and things. It just sounds incredibly sad being the only person in there.
Yeah,
I've not had it where I've been there at the end of the night and I've made the bar staff stay like right until the last second because I want ale.
Yeah, but...
And they're just looking at their watch, continuously polishing the same glass they've been polishing for the last 45 minutes, looking up at their watch again.
John, think of it this way. If you own the smallest pub in the world, it'd probably just be you. So you're just waiting for me to leave. John's trying to eat all of your cattle. And you know that he would try and eat all your cattle. You say that this is a ranch. John treats it as a buffet. So you've now got this huge, huge empty hall that fits 10,000 people. And John is just sat there going, I'm not full yet. I'm just taking a break.
Eating the world's supply of cows.
3 a.m. and he's just sipping his water because he's going to finish his steak and have another. What do you do in that situation?
It's the world's largest steakhouse.
But it's not about the steakhouse. It's about the wages and the wage percentage you're going to make. And let's be honest, the people that are staying late in the world's smallest pub, they own it. So it's just on them. It's not really costing them any money, just their time. But in the world's biggest steakhouse...
Yeah, but everyone knows the markups on the food.
Oh, you've got you there.
You do get a bigger markup on the food, but not when you're eating it until 4 a.m. and you're the only one that's been in there since 11 p.m.
I was just saying, which one would you rather go to as an event? Would you rather go to the world's smallest pub and go, oh, this isn't a small pub, or do you want to go to the world's largest steakhouse and go, fucking hell, this is a big steakhouse?
I'd rather go to the world's smallest pub because I wouldn't be there with people like you two who argue with me about everything.
No, you just show us pictures of how small it was and we go, fuck it, steakhouse is bigger and cooler. Give me more interesting facts. I want more anecdotes.
And actually, you said that this... We'll go with your example of 5 people. I don't know that many more than 5 people that I'd want to be there. You fill a 10,000-person steak restaurant.
With a bunch of randoms because they're going there because it's the world's largest steak restaurant.
That you have to pay for.
Why do I have to pay for it? No one said that I was going to pay
for it. Because it's your event. You just said it's your event.
Go to it as an event. Like, make a day of it. Jesus, you're hard work tonight.
It's your event.
Right, John wins.
Woo! I mean,
You just didn't put across how fun drinking alone is. I got a little bit hung up with how sad it sounded.
Yeah, I didn't want to because then you'd want to join me and then I wouldn't be drinking alone.
But the fact that you want to drink alone makes me want to be there with you to support you through whatever turmoil that you're obviously going through that you need to be drinking alone for.
I'd rather be drinking alone than sat in a very large restaurant with everybody watching me eat.
Why would everyone watch you eat?
Because everybody watches everyone eat. And if you don't know that, you've not been out for enough meals.
You're not Adam from fucking Man vs. Food. No one's going to care about you eating a steak.
They still watch you. Everybody watches everyone, no matter what you're doing. If I'm in a tiny pub, not many people watching me. If I'm in a huge restaurant, lots of people watching me.
Every single person's watching you.
Yeah, but that's still a maximum of 5 by your count.
4 people on the bar staff. 1.
Yeah.
Can we move on?
He's worried you're going to change your mind because he knows you're wrong. But let's
I think he wants to move on because he's got a chance of whitewashing you this time.
Well, he's definitely not going to try very hard this round because he's already won and he hates winning. So he doesn't hate winning. He loves winning, but he hates having to ask questions. So
he does.
That's already inevitability now.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather be gifted Pandora's box or the monkey paw?
I only know what one of those means.
The monkey paw is from that short story where you hold the monkey paw, you make a wish, and the monkey paw grants your wish, but it's got unthought of and normally not very pleasant consequences to grant your wish.
Oh, monkey paw.
Basically, they're both terrible.
Yeah, and you've been gifted it, and you can't re-gift it because that's impolite. So you've now got something that's been made of absolute horror on your doorstep. How do you deal with it, guys?
I pick monkey paw, and I'm going to wish with my first wish that I wish that monkey paw wishes didn't have bad consequences.
So the monkey paw would screw you over somehow and remove your
leg. Well, now I'd need examples of how it's going to screw me over somehow, because I can't think of any way that it would with that wish. Because it'd be going directly against the wish. But if you can think of a way, otherwise I've now got three wishes.
It would just remove all your loved ones so they couldn't be hit with any collateral monkey paw damage.
How is that? That's going against my wish.
Well, no, because you need to make a wish for it to then become safe. So in that wish to make it become safe from then on, it's going to do the damage beforehand. Because that's how cruel the monkey paw is.
Okay, I wish all my loved ones came back. I've now got two wishes left.
They've got to die in the first place.
Yeah, that's fine. Because bear in mind, you're one of my loved ones, and
it's too late for flattery now, Matthew.
No, but
it's 2-0.
I know that if you said to me, "Not John, I need to make a wish that kills you, but you'll come back to life very shortly afterwards, and then I've got two wishes," I'd be like, fuck yeah, do it.
I suppose.
And then I've got two wishes. And if I just wish that, you know what, I'll let John talk for a minute before I exhaust all of my arguments.
I'd love to be gifted Pandora's box because I love having things to put on my mantelpiece that I'm not allowed to touch. I love the challenge of someone saying, don't look in this, and not doing it.
So if I sent you a box with a button in it, attached to a mystery box inside, and I said, don't press the button, you go, ooh, I like it.
Yeah, I'd love it.
I love you to bits, John, but you're so strange. I thought you pushed that one and a half.
Yeah, he pushed that button within seconds.
Yep, so basically you've just released all the evil into the world. That's what would happen, because it's Pandora's box.
And it's going to happen because it's in your possession.
Maybe, who knows? Let's see how strong-willed I am.
Not very.
I know you're stubborn, but I don't know if you've got as much restraint as you have the ability to not give in.
I don't know. If somebody gave you a box and said, do not open this, but they told you why, they said, will ruin the world.
If I gave you a box and said, John, I'm being deadly serious, I need you to look after this for me, but you can't open it and I can't tell you why, we don't live in a fantasy world. This isn't Lord of the Potter. You would open it because you wouldn't believe it. Like, if we lived in a world where stupid shit like that happened, then of course you wouldn't. Like, because we've all sat down and watched, like, Harry of the Rings and gone, why did they make that decision? But we don't live in that world, so it doesn't happen. If I came up to either of you and said, listen, I'm not supposed to tell anyone, but I'm a witch and I've got supernatural powers, the first thing you would say is prove it. And if I said, I'm not allowed, otherwise you'll turn to stone, the second thing that you both would say would be, prove it. And the only way that I could convince you from thinking that I wasn't joking or mad was by turning you into stone. However, that is an episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. So we live in a world where that just isn't plausible. So you'd open the box and you'd release all of that horror single-handedly. Why would you do that?
Probably.
Because I know you would.
On another note, talking about the Lord of the Potter dwarves or whatever, I gave my mate a really good pro tip for looking after his kids. When he's got to do a stay-at-home dad day, and people go, oh, what have you been up to? Instant reaction, just say, we've been playing Harry Potter. And then he goes, oh, that's really nice and sweet of you. What, you know, how'd you do that? And he goes, well, the kid's not 11 yet, so I just left him under the stairs for all day.
I thought you were going to say killed his parents.
No. I don't have a wand, so shout out abracadabra at people doesn't do much.
Avada Kedavra.
Avada Kedavra. Sorry.
Well, yeah. John, I don't think you were there, but John with a H definitely was. We were. Do you remember when we'd walk to town, we'd go, and the way to town sometimes was past the AstroTurf, down that route, and then we'd come out into town, but right on the right edge of town, where you'd turn right to go to our friend Dwar's house, and left through the park.
Yes.
I remember walking down that path, and we were all trying to find sticks that were the right length and shape to pretend to be a wand. And I picked up my stick, and I went, ah, this is my stick. It was covered in shit.
not unicorn hair or...
No.
Just
covered in dog shit. Because it was around the time that we were making up our own Harry Potter spells, where it was like Wingardium Genitalia. Covered in dog shit.
Oh, it was meant to be. Did you get like the light appear from above you and then your hair sort of like flicked around a bit? Was it the proper...
I did, but turned out it was a dog in a tree pissing on me.
Oh, so apt for Huntingdon.
Shall I go on to my second to last wish, seeing as John doesn't have many good arguments?
Because there's no stronger... Who would you rather be in charge of a box, which if you open, the hand of famine will pursue you to the end of the earth? You definitely want me to be in charge of that.
No, I genuinely think out of everybody, not everybody I know, but definitely out of the current like group, I do think I'd be the best person in charge of it. Because I know that I would not look at it. I think you'd lose it.
Forget about it.
Well, I think you're a firm third. It's definitely between me and John with no H for first place. But I do think that I would personally argue that I'm a strong first place. Just because I believe in that shit.
I also believe that if someone said, Matt, don't do this, you go, what, do this? And then you'd do it and then the world would end. And you were like, oh, that didn't pan out quite how I thought it was going to.
Yeah, but, okay.
You do go against the grain. You do quite enjoy.
I used to, but John without an H, are we in agreement that John with a H would definitely be third place to have it because he'd definitely open it?
Yeah, I could quite easily see him losing his keys and going, oh, I wonder if they're in this box that I shouldn't open ever.
So the question you need to ask yourself about this discussion, which is nothing to do with the question really, but who's more likely to open it? Not me or you, but me or your child.
Oh, yeah, if you gave me a box and said don't open it, if I left it any less than shoulder height, it would be opened in search for either chocolate or more Lego to play with.
Exactly, your child's only going to get taller and taller, then find this box and go, what's this, Daddy? Don't open it. And things will happen.
Basically, not John, has argued that he would be the most appropriate person to look after Pandora's box.
As long as he was told, like, to open it.
Yet, when asked which one he'd prefer to receive, he went for the monkey paw because he selfishly thought that he would get wishes out of it and he could defeat the monkey paw.
Yeah. What's your point?
So...
If I get the monkey paw, you've left
Pandora's box in the third place best person to look after it.
No, if I get the monkey paw doesn't mean you get Pandora's box. It just is what would I prefer. And tell you what, third wish.
If you don't have it, someone else does.
Okay, tell you what, third wish. Nobody can ever open Pandora's box. There we go, got one wish left. Fourth wish, everybody that I care about and has never wronged me, I wish to be rich, happy and loved, and for all their children who live good lives to be rich, happy and loved for the rest of their lives. End of wishes.
That's my family straight out.
Well, yeah, but that's only because your son brought open Doug's box before and shut it.
In his defence, he thought there might be chocolate coins in there.
Fair point, but... based on my wishes, he's got money. He can buy all the chocolate coins he wants.
True.
I think it's very, very, very naive to think that you can trick the monkey paw. I feel like it would, the law of unintended consequences, your first wish, yeah, it would have erased everybody and then all the other fingers would have fallen off. I think that's what would have happened.
Oh, yeah, and I feel like if I had Pandora's box, I'd have opened it and it'd have said, oh, you know what, you're actually a good person, so let's release good instead of evil. You can't make up your fucking own rules, John.
Well, you seem to make up your own one-person pub, so...
No, I just said I'm pretty sure there's a smaller... And either way, I lost that, so...
Just saying it, I think it's naive to think you can defeat a charmed, mythical...
Okay, so come up with a counter, like a bad side to my first wish.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to agree, I'm asking you for an example. I'm asking you to come up with an argument against my wish. Like, if you were the monkey paw, what would you do? Because clearly you think the monkey paw is smarter than I. So
yeah, told you it would. All the other fingers, which give you wishes, would fall off.
That's not a counter. That's a booby trap, and I don't think the monkey paw is that pedantic. That's like me saying I open the Pandora's box and all the evil comes out, and me going, "Oh no, don't!" And it goes, "Oh, okay then," and all the good comes back. You can't have that. I need
the monkey paw. That's literally its thing.
My point is literally designed to screw you over.
Okay, but it has to screw you over logically.
Does it have to?
Well, from what I know of the monkey paw, from the information I was given, otherwise the quizmaster gave me poor information, so I'll reevaluate. But just like the genie, or any genies, can't have more wishes, can't make people fall in love, and can't wish for people to die. Those are the rules. Other than that, fucking go for it.
Yeah, but you're the sort of person that would go, I wish for infinite genies.
Yeah, totally. Because...
Or your first wish would be, I wish the rules of the genie lamp no longer existed.
And the genie would laugh in your face and be like, no, them's the rules, mate.
Yeah, but I haven't broken the rules.
Yeah, and nor is the monkey paw. The monkey paw's gone, yeah, fine. I'll make it so there's no more bad consequences of wishes on the monkey paw. You've got no more wishes left. There's your unintended consequence.
But I was promised four wishes.
Yeah, and it betrays you. It's evil.
Okay, so no matter what you do, when the Pandora's box is opened, bad shit happens. So I'll change my first wish to... I wish only good things happen to everyone from now on. End of.
No. Something bad would happen.
Yeah, but I need examples, because I have got one wish. What you're telling me is I've got one wish to counteract any argument anybody can make, and
it won't work.
You just don't have to open the box.
Are unexpected as well. So if I was able to expect them, then they wouldn't be unexpected.
No, but you're not the one making the wish. I am. So it's not unexpected for you. It's unexpected for me. So come on. I wish that everyone is happy from now on.
Everybody dies.
If that's what makes people happy, then I'm okay with that. Moving on. You've got a Pandora's box, which John has already agreed you are very likely to open. At least I'm trying. John, make a judgment, please, because...
We're going round in circles.
Yeah.
I think you do get points for effort. I think you win this one, Matt.
Thank you.
Because John's, I'd like to put it on the mantelpiece and look at it because it would be pretty. It was... Yeah. Yeah.
Awful.
Okay. Yeah. Just awful.
What else is he supposed to do with Pandora's box?
Do I also get a monkey paw?
No.
I wasn't asking you. Let's pretend, John without H, that my birthday that was 30th wasn't in the past. Are you sending me a monkey paw?
I'm not going to lie. I've got a plush monkey up right now, and I was going to search for one that wasn't too expensive. I was going to lop off an arm, and I was going to put it in a box that said "Do not open," and then mail it to you, and then see how long it would take you to open it. Go try. So maybe you sent me a plush monkey arm.
Mail it to both of us. I wish you hadn't ruined that, because I genuinely wouldn't have opened it. Like, my mum sends me gifts, and it doesn't say do not open or anything like that, but she'll send me gifts for my birthday or Christmas. I don't open till my birthday or Christmas, because that ruins it. And people say to me, but why? You know what she's got you. It's socks. And I go, yeah, but it's a Christmas present, dickhead. I'll open it on Christmas. So I wish you hadn't told me that, because I genuinely don't think I'd have ever opened it. But now we'll never know.
Well, I've been John, and I've ruined a perfectly good joke that could have gone on for literally years.
And I've got to go release jealousy, greed, wrath, and pain upon the world. I've been John.
And I genuinely just froze.
You're not John?
Yeah, no, I had a really good thing to say, and it just literally just like just flew away.
Under the unintended consequences of the monkey paw.
Damn monkey paw. Well, see you next week. Goodbye.
A bit.
I very occasionally at work have a sit-down poo, just so I can have a break. What,
at home you do standing up poos?
Yeah, I've got a compost heap.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I'm impressed or worried.
Nothing he's stopping. You want somebody to it when everybody